You are Locked On MLB, your daily podcast on Major League Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On MLB, your daily podcast with news, analysis, opinions, and interviews across baseball to keep you informed on a daily basis. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network with local experts covering teams in every market across the NBA and NFL and a growing team here in Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Tommy Stokey. You can find me writing at LockedOnMLB.com and listen to me here. I'm a BBWAA member in Arizona where I cover Major League Baseball as a whole and the Arizona Diamondbacks. You've maybe read me at other places and seen me build other things, but come join me at LockedOnMLB as we try building a great thing here for you, the audience. Today, let's talk Ronald Acuña Jr. and the Braves. The problem with what they did, which is obvious and stated by everybody so far, and what Alex Anthopoulos, Atlanta Braves general manager, should have said or done in the situation. Also, I want to talk Alex Cobb, who seems to be headed to the Baltimore Orioles pending physical. We know how that goes. Sounds like it's a four-year deal. $57 million is what I've seen on Twitter so far. So, is that a good deal for Baltimore? Who missed out on him that maybe should have got him instead? We'll take a look at that. And then we'll end the show looking at a couple of injuries across the league in spring training to, you know, end on a nice bright note and see who's hurt and who's going to miss time and who might not miss as much time as we think. But first, let's start with Acuña. So, Acuña, the top prospect in baseball, there's not really a question about that. Going to play left field for the Braves, but it's not going to happen now until roughly April 15th or 20th or sometime after April 13th, because that is the date that the Braves need to call him up to secure another year of service time. This happens every single spring. Anytime there's somebody this good, a team never brings the player up opening day, except for when the Braves did it with Jason Hayward, and then they probably regretted it when they had to trade him. I shouldn't say had to trade him. I know that would get crushed. They decided to trade him a year maybe earlier than they wanted to get value in return instead of paying him, which now looks like a good thing that they're not paying him. But the problem is that the Braves don't have a for sure left fielder. Looks like they're going to run out a platoon of Preston Tucker and Lane Adams. So if you want to say, hey, if the Braves are trying to win and field their best team, Ronald Acuña is their best, gives them the best chance to win, we think. He just turned 20. He hit .432 with a .579 on base and four home runs this spring. He hit everywhere that he went last year in the minors, so we have nothing to go off of that says he's going to do anything other than hit, except that Major League Baseball is really hard. But he's really good. So what do you do? If John Coppola was still in charge, he would have, I'm sure, brought him in on opening day because he has said many times that they get there when they get there fast, and we're not going to play the service time game, and I think he was pretty proud of that, so he would have been there on opening day, and I think he would have got absolutely crushed for it, and fans would have been upset about it, saying that we're not going to be good this year, we're going to win, you know, we're not going to be a playoff team this year, so what do the first 2 weeks of the season matter? Let's get that extra year of control. Whether you agree with that thinking or not, whether fans should think that way or not, it's the right decision. It's the smart decision if you are running the baseball team. And if any other decision was made, they would have been crushed by a lot of people. So, of course, they're being crushed now. Anthopoulos came out on the radio and said, there was a tweet going around where he said something along the lines of, this is part of our development and process. And it just came off as, you know, some people said, don't talk to us like we're stupid. But what was he supposed to say? I guess if you want to say, give some sort of reason, you point and say, you know, we want roster flexibility and we've got guys that don't have options that we have to keep up here and we want to get a look at. We want to go on our timetable, not what the previous front office did. I mean, Coppola called up guys all the time in the minors, moving up 19, 20-year-olds, and people are like, man, these guys are getting moved up pretty quick. Anthopoulos said himself that he probably wouldn't have moved Acuna as fast as he's been moved. So, you know, maybe you point to Dansby Swanson and say, look, Dansby got rushed. He was good for a stretch, and then he really struggled. So there are cautionary tales out there where it doesn't work. I don't think that has necessarily anything to do with this decision. I do think it's all 100% based on service time, and I don't think there was any other decision to make. So if you want to fix this issue, I think Major League Baseball has to do something about it. Maybe they punish the Braves and come out and say, okay, Braves, we don't believe you, and we're going to make an example out of you. It's not like they haven't done that before recently. So until that happens, until a team is punished for it, the Cubs weren't punished for Chris Bryant, and every other team in the history that has done this hasn't been punished. So until Major League Baseball wants to make an example out of somebody and actually take this seriously, and I do think that when we get to that new CBA, the Players Association is going to have a lot of work to do to not only get players paid younger, but one of the ways to do that is to fix this service time manipulation where they're getting to free agency sooner. So, you know, we'll see when that issue arises. We'll see what kind of excuse that comes off, I'm sure, flat from Rob Manfred whenever he is asked about it, if he is asked about it. You know, everybody understands it, everybody knows why it's happening, and that's going to continue to happen until something's done about it. Again, we don't have to necessarily like the rule. We don't have to agree that it's the best thing to do for the player. We can all understand it's not the best thing for the player, and we can also understand that it doesn't matter and it's best for the team and it was going to happen no matter what. So, you know, everybody seemed to talk about it. Everybody had an opinion about it. Everybody kind of acted surprised. I don't know why. Everybody, we always knew this was going to happen. And we'll see him back in a couple weeks, I'm sure, if he plays well and hits well and Preston Tucker and Lade Adams don't get it done. I know that I've seen a couple dates thrown out that they've got a big homestand in the middle of April, so we'll see. I know that a lot of Braves fans are obviously excited to see him. I'm excited to see him. A lot of people are excited to see him. They're going to have to wait a couple weeks. So before we get to Alex Cobb, let's take care of some housekeeping and let you know that if your company might be interested in reaching sports fans, baseball fans, podcast fans, contact me today to talk about advertising on Locked On MLB. Whether it's this show, we have local shows as well. If you're interested, my email is Stokke, Stokke, at LockedOnMLB.com. Our rates are very reasonable, and I will probably buy your product, so that's at least one sale. All right, Alex Cobb, the last big free agent starter left on the market. I guess Greg Holland is still out there as another starter. We're waiting to see, or another reliever, to see where he goes. Alex Cobb, 4 years, $57 million to the Baltimore Orioles. I believe that was Bruce Levine in Chicago that had that final detail. I know John Heyman, Ken Rosenthal, Jeff Passan were all on that. So I'm not really surprised by the reaction to this, because it seems that baseball Twitter does this all the time, where we spend months complaining about teams not spending money, and now the Baltimore Orioles have spent money, and it's more than everybody expected it to be at this point. And now Baltimore is getting somewhat criticized that, of course, Baltimore is spending this kind of money when nobody else is spending that money. Who are they negotiating against? Whatever. First of all, good for Alex Cobb to get this deal. $457 million, when Lance Lynn, I guess the guy he was compared to the most, just got a 1 year, $12 million deal with the Twins. Jake Arrieta got 3 years for $75 million guaranteed. Darvish got a 5 year, 100 plus. So he got better than, I mean, there were reports that Cobb turned down $448 million from the Cubs, and so now he tops that. at a point where nobody thought that he was going to top that. So good for him, first of all, to get paid and get a reasonable deal. Finished 12-10 last year with a 3.66 ERA, 179 innings. I think it was his first full season coming off Tommy John. There's a lot of questions about whether he'll throw his changeup, which I believe used to be his best pitch, or the pitch that everybody wanted to see if he was going to bring back. We'll see, and we'll see how Baltimore handles him. They have not had much success when they signed starters at this point, whether it was Ubaldo, Jimenez, Giovanni Gallardo didn't work out. So we'll see, and we'll see if it makes sense for him. I would listen. Make sure you listen to Locked On Orioles tomorrow with Justin McGuire. I'm sure he'll have some deeper insight into the Orioles. He's our local Orioles expert, so he'll be able to speak to what this means for them, what I think it means. I'm not really sure. Like, good for them for trying, but are they any better in the AL East now with him? I mean, they're not worse, but are they gonna, are they a second wild card contender in the American League? Maybe they'll try till July to make a decision on Zach Britton, to make a decision on Manny Machado, Kevin Gausman, Dylan Bundy, Alex Cobb. You've got Tillman back. You signed Cashner as well. That's going to be some combination of your rotation. I don't know if it's good enough this year, but I don't really hate it, because even looking forward, you get a solid starting pitcher and you get him at a reasonable rate, or at least what we are used to being a reasonable rate. And if you look going forward, next offseason isn't very good for starting pitching. If you're not going to get Dallas Keuchel, then you're looking at, Patrick Corbin is going to be a free agent from the Diamondbacks. Matt Harvey is going to be a free agent. I don't know that anybody knows what to expect from him this year. Garrett Richards is going to be a free agent. If he's healthy, he's really good. But is he going to be healthy? And do you trust giving him a long-term deal if he does come off this season healthy? Drew Pomeranz is going to be a free agent. He'll be 31, I think 30. And now Lance Lynn will be back out there, but we saw what the interest level was in him this year. So to get Alex Cobb moving forward, not just for next year, but the 3 years after that, I feel like that's a pretty good deal for Baltimore to get. I mean, if your goal is to get better, and I know that that's weird to say because half the teams are not trying to necessarily get better or marginally better. They either want to get way worse or way better. So this doesn't move the needle for me, but you need a good pitcher, and if he's a good pitcher, he'll be good for the next couple of years. So we'll see. I think, again, it's definitely a win for Alex Cobb. I guess good for the Orioles fans that they're trying, but I don't know that the Orioles fans want them to try like this, because they're going to be stuck with a lot of these weird contracts and they're going to be limited. They're not going to be able to bring Machado back, and we'll see what they end up being. They might be stuck in the middle for a while, and that's kind of sports hell, stuck in the middle, where whether you want to admit it or not. So we'll see what happens there. All right, let's go to end this show with just a little update on some injuries going on in baseball. Yeah, I know, fun. Stop me if you've heard this before, but the New York Mets have an injury in their starting rotation. It's just not a name that you've heard of yet. Jason Vargas, they just signed him. He has a broken bone in his non-pitching hand, so that means Steven Matz and Zach Wheeler don't have to compete for that fifth spot, because it looks like they'll both start the season in the rotation. Matt Harvey had a decent start today, I believe. We'll see what that comes out to be, but their rotation is healthy so far, except for Vargas, and Vargas was the one that you didn't think would be hurt. So that doesn't crush the Mets or change anything. We'll see. It gives Steven Matz and Wheeler a chance going forward, and then Vargas obviously a nice option whenever he is healthy. The two big ones happened on Monday. Justin Turner late breaking his wrist. Apparently they said today he will not need surgery. So that's good news. We'll get into more of the fallout and the Dodgers and how they could possibly be derailed on our next episode. Cody Bellinger also left the game today, I believe, after fouling a ball off his foot. So two injury scares, one Turner for sure, a serious injury where it's, you know, a broken wrist. And then we'll see what happens with Bellinger. But, you know, we'll talk next episode what's going to happen with the Dodgers. How can they be derailed? They've had all this depth for a long time. But I feel like Justin Turner is really important, and I don't know that a lot of people realize how good he actually is and has been, and that sounds crazy because he had a big postseason and he's an all-star and all that. And we've heard so much about how the Mets let him go for nothing. So the broken wrist is tough. We've seen guys like Freddie Freeman break his wrist, and although he needed surgery, he took him a while to get that power back. So we'll see how that affects things with Turner. Some other NL West, Zach Greinke isn't going to start opening day for the Diamondbacks, but it doesn't sound like he's going to miss much time after that. He's said this week that he felt great. But a lot of worry about his velocity again. There was that worry last year. I'm not all that worried about his velocity. I don't care if he's throwing 85. He's the kind of pitcher that he doesn't need to be throwing mid-90s to be successful. Obviously, he wants to be in that low 90, so there's a difference between a fastball, changeup, and slider, but he's more off-speed stuff and locating that where he wants to locate it. So as long as that is fine, I'm not really worried about his velocity. Former NL West, Tim Lincecum, isn't going to be on the active roster for the Rangers. He'll be in the bullpen, but he won't be there opening day. Jarrell Cotton came out this week that he needs Tommy John surgery, which is a big loss for Oakland. I mean, there aren't really any questions about their offense. We all think that they're going to be able to score, but will they be able to pitch? It's going to be a little bit harder without Cotton. Jacoby Ellsbury, Yankees, likely out for opening day. That means that nothing changes there because you still have Stanton and Judge in the corners and Brett Gardner. I think I saw them say that Gardner will start in left, and that means one of Stanton and Judge will DH, but that doesn't change anything with Jacoby Ellsbury because Aaron Hicks will be in center. So a couple injuries there. You know, we'll try to give some injury stuff for your fantasy teams and all that as the season goes on when these things are happening, whether they're all that serious or not. So to kind of wrap things up here, Acuna, no surprise, it's the right decision, even if it's not the right decision. We'll see him sooner than not, and it probably won't have any impact on the Braves, although I will say it is an issue with players. You saw Brandon McCarthy tweet out that in the second wildcard era, when one or two games mean a whole lot in those races, that it's harder and harder to argue not having your best team on the field opening day. So that's going to be something that a message you have to give to your players so they understand, and that's something that you're going to have to massage there. So, we'll see what happens in Atlanta. We'll see what happens in Baltimore with Alex Cobb. Hopefully he passes his physical. Good luck to him. Good job to his agents. I believe he's Beverly Hills, but good job to them getting him that deal. And we'll talk more on the Dodgers and what could go wrong for them this year and the injuries that they're already seeing. So you can follow us on Twitter at LockedOnMLB. You can follow me at StokeyTommy. If you can get Tommy Stokey on Twitter to give me that account, then we can work out a deal. But until then, Stokey Tommy. We will be on iTunes soon. We'll be on Spotify soon, Stitcher, and Google Play. So until then, find us at LockedOnMLB.com.